was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen...
Hey, welcome, Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Tonight, folks, we're going to do something a little different. I have Bruce Doucette and the Nationwide Common Law Grand Jury Judges Call on the line. We are going to be broadcasting live the call of this group. These folks have worked very, very hard for you, and they are trying so hard to bring back the du jour republic and rescue us out of the hands of some of these evil, corrupt politicians. So I'm going to get right to the call. Tonight, folks, going to be very interesting. Go ahead on with the call.
He is dying because they charge, you have to have an account with the prison to be able to call a prisoner.
Oh, okay. All right.
If I may, Steve. Janice.
Okay, Kino.
Janice, that won't work. Because as soon as they see that there's more than one party on the phone call, they'll cut off the phone call.
Really?
Yes. It happened with me with Steve Curry.
Gotcha.
I mean, even if you pick up another phone in the house, they'll cut off the call.
Oh my.
Creeps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if there's any way you can let her know, it probably won't work. That'd be great.
Okay, will do.
All right. Anyone else in the northeast quadrant in Colorado? Comments or questions? The floor is open. Anyone?
Maybe.
Did I hear somebody there, or was that an inadvertent comment?
Well, hello. If you're
can you folks hear me?
Well, I'll tell you what, Dennis. Let's open it up for you in Tennessee.
Fellas, can you hear me?
Not too well. If you can speak up.
Okay, this is Tom Lacovara Stewart with Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam, Truth Radio. You guys are being broadcast live on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I just wanted to let you guys know that we were all connected. If you have anything you'd like to share with our audience specifically, that's great. If not, just carry on with your call, and I'm sitting here live with you.
Tom, thank you for coming in and letting us know you were there. Sorry about
that, sir.
Steve. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I think we lost Dennis, so maybe when he comes back on...
No, I'm still here.
Are you there, Dennis?
Yeah.
Oh, there you are. Okay, go ahead, Dennis. And then I'm going to turn the call over to Justice Doucette. Go ahead, Dennis. The floor is yours.
Well, thank
you. This is Dennis from Tennessee.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, perfect timing here. I love an additional expansion. I would ask everyone, Central Time tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., if you could be so kind to dial the telephone number 615-452-4310. That's 615-452-4310. And ask the General Sessions Court, I don't know how else to say it other than to ask them what the hell they're doing trying to prosecute Dennis Schulke into an unlawful detainer eviction in Sumner County, Tennessee, when he has attempted through two federal filings, and now I'm on my civil RICO. There are 14 defendants in the case. They have taken offense, retaliatory action against me, Dennis Schulke, for speaking out against what they're doing to our airports nationwide. And what they are doing, what the lawyer class is doing.
Hold on, Dennis. Wait a minute. Point of order. Point of order. People, you need to mute your phones and be respectful. You need to mute your phones and let Dennis talk.
I think I've got her muted out.
Good, okay.
Got her muted out.
Yeah, thank
you. Go ahead, Dennis.
I'm on a culmination of about a year and a half of working to defend myself here in Tennessee by the northeast edge of Nashville. And I would ask for anybody's pouring in support from all over the nation. I am being railroaded. I'm now at least in federal court as of last Friday, July 22nd, with a civil RICO. And I have put it to the judge that if he has, you know, he has a conflict of interest, if he moves forward tomorrow against me, I've asked him, does he wish me to sue him for $1 million? Does he wish for me to fill out a form AO-91 and submit it to the clerk of the court of the Federal District Court here in Nashville for criminal prosecution charges? And would he like to be added as a defendant in the civil RICO, joining in the conspiracy against me? As everyone that does know me, I'm simply a government watchdog and whistleblower here in Tennessee. I'm being retaliated against, and I could use everybody's help from all over the nation to join in on calling that number, 615-452-4310, and ask these people, do they really think that they are administering uniformity of justice across the United States against a government watchdog and whistleblower? Anyway, I thank God for those people that came forward with the Northern District of Georgia federal case, Hill versus SEC, the last year in June 2015 when that federal judge ruled that these administrative courts are illegal since 1933. Anyway, it's a thing of beauty. I added it to my RICO case. I hope that I'll get support here from the judge. His name is Sharp. Kevin Sharp, the federal judge in Tennessee, was assigned to my case just this Monday. And I hope that this man, he had already shut down an unlawful probation system that was after my son in Rutherford County, Tennessee. So hopefully we'll have some good things to come, but it's going to take the power of the people to come down on these people like a ton of bricks with the truth and the proof that they are, they're crooks, they're felons, they're mafia members. And we know who they are, and it's we the people that are going to have to come after them to shut it down. So I welcome all your help and support, and thank you for the listening ear. Thank you very much.
If I may, Dennis.
Okay. All right, Keno, go ahead.
Dennis, would you please come on the Friday night call and put that out?
Sure. I'll be glad to.
Thank you, buddy.
Now's the time. I've had to stay kind of quiet and low and let these guys do what they do. And what I've done is I've documented every track and step I've submitted and made up affidavits of truth and smothered them in the courts. The federal courts just shooed me away back to state court where they wanted to slam dunk an unlawful eviction against me. So I'm waiting for everybody to get all their systems together. I need everybody's help. And it's like hopefully we can get a precedent set here. This involves contracts. This involves unlawful General Sessions courts all over the United States. This involves integrating that federal court case by a federal judge's already previous ruling. So I welcome everybody's help and support. And, you know, there needs to be a justice day on our side once. So I say let's make it happen. And thanks for your help in advance.
And hold on just a minute. Dennis, just in case you know, this was not only broadcasted for the nationwide judges and marshals called by Tom and his group, but also it's being also broadcast live by Toasted and his group, Revolution News Radio. So we got Truth. Tom, what is
your RTR name? Truth. It's Resurrect Republic, Truth. Dirty Uncle Sam. Yep.
Go ahead.
It's a Resurrect Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam. On the Republic Broadcasting Network, otherwise known as RTR Truth Media.
And then, Toast It, if we have you on the call, would you speak up? Toast It, okay. Unmute yourself.
Yes, sir, I have unmuted.
Well, and would you like to tell everybody else where else they can view this live, please?
Yes, you can go on YouTube.com and search Revolution News and Information and look for the channel that's got over 800 subscribers on it. And you can also look for today's call under the channel by putting in today's date. And just look for We the People in Colorado / Gathering of the Judges Show. I yield.
Thank you, sir. So, Dennis, you're getting lots of good coverage tonight.
Well, good. Hey, as long as we're doing that, why don't I give one more prod tonight?
Go ahead, sir. We'll let you do that.
You remember the Tennessee State Representative, Mr. Bill Beck story? I unearthed yesterday at the Secretary of State's Legislative Archives that Mr. Bill Beck got to work real quick when he got into office. In January of 2015, by April 30th, he had proposed and got passed a new bill that redacted, or should say it lifted the restriction on imposing taxes on every human being brought into the General Sessions Court in his Davidson County. So now they're getting whacked up to 50, 60 bucks probably a piece, thanks to Bill Beck. And the proceeds are going to the General Sessions Court, and from there, who knows? Now, is that a direct conflict of interest for an attorney to run for office when he said to everybody, I just want to help make things better? He sets out, goes to work, and raises the taxes on every person that's both civil and criminal in both sides of the General Sessions Court in Davidson County. So, Lord have mercy. It's just another prime example of the whistleblowing I've been doing in Tennessee, and this is why they love to retaliate against me, and I guess that's why I love to document how criminal they are. And hopefully one day, not only the Black Fly Brigade, but everybody all over the nation, justice will be served. And I'm looking forward to Judgment Day.
And Dennis, I hope you're ready for about 4,000 to 5,000 marshals in your state there to help you in your county, because that's what we're going to be talking about on the call tonight.
You just tell me when they're ready. I have my address, and I'll even give you my GPS coordinates if necessary.
Okay, sir. We'd be happy to do that, Dennis, as always.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, Bruce.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Bruce, let's give the people in Colorado one more chance, comments and questions.
Okay.
We got 2 minutes left. What, last call. Comments and questions, people in Colorado. Yeah. Okay, Bruce.
Steve?
Wait a minute. Yeah, go ahead, Mary.
Bruce, what time tomorrow do you want me to call you? After Bob?
Yeah, you just call me whenever you can get a hold of me, dear. And
just
if you can't get a hold of me then, I'll call you back.
I'll just keep calling. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, dear.
Okay, we're going to slide into the Superior Court judges, Continental United States Marshals, and Grand Jury Administrator. Call, take it away, Justice Doucette.
Number, Steve.
107.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, people. Boy, we've had an exciting week this week. We always have an interesting week, but it really seems like Heavenly Father is working on our side here, and we're accomplishing a lot of really good things. We've got a lot of new people on the call tonight, and because we do, I want to go into some explanation of what we're all about and what exactly and who exactly it is that we're fighting.
Bruce, if I may?
Yes.
You should do your housekeeping first.
I'm getting to that right now. But before we do that, there's a couple things I want to take care of. One of the first things on here is I'd like to welcome everybody to the call. And when I say everybody, I do mean the FBI, the CIA, anyone that is out there that wants to listen in, you're welcome to this call.
We don't forget the DHS.
We invite you into this call. Everything that we have to say here is about solving the problems of our country lawfully and peaceably, and to restore our Constitution and to restore true law back to this land. And one of the things that's really important for all of us to understand is that this is a spiritual war that we are fighting.
Here.
With the spiritual war, we have managed to put some really amazing people together across the United States, thousands of people that have come together and shared all of their pieces of knowledge to show us the truth and the everything. Show us the truth and how everything is being done and the corruption and all of that. So there's a lot of people to thank for everything that's going on here. First of all, I would like to state that now we have, I believe, Utah and Nevada have been working very hard, and they have, both of those states have put the number of people they need to get together for their grand juries and common law courts, and they've done that in a little over a month's time is all. And so that's some amazing work right there, and we need to start doing more of that. But also today we had our newest Superior Court judge from Florida that was sworn in. Bonnie Davis, are you on the call? Do we have Ronnie Davis on the call yet?
I'm not seeing him at all.
You're not? Okay. No. If you're not, then I'll continue. Greg, when you see him, would you pipe up, please?
10-4.
Okay. Anyway, this afternoon, Ronnie Davis became our 36th Superior Court judge, and he is in Florida. We now have this nation covered from Hawaii to Alaska to Florida with 27 common law, 27 states that all have common law courts and common law grand juries set up or almost there. And we've done all of that in a couple years' time with all of the help from the people. Anyway, going back to what I was saying earlier, this is a spiritual war, people. And I'm going to get into explaining what I mean by that in just a minute. But because this is a spiritual war, the first thing I would like to do with the judge's call is open it with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of your Son that died on the cross to save us all. We would ask, Heavenly Father, that you would open everyone's heart that is on the call tonight, and that you would open their hearts, their minds, their souls, and their body, and that you would remove all evil or anything that would harm them personally. We would ask that you would open their souls and their spirits as well, and that you would fill them all with the power of the Holy Spirit, and put their armor of protection on each and every one of them, and that you would give us the knowledge that we need to fight our opponent and win. And we also, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the wonderful blessings that you've given us, for the knowledge that you've already given us, for the truth that you have shown us. And we all repent to you. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, make it so.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
When I say that this is a spiritual battle, people, anytime you're going to fight any opponent, it's very important that, one, you know who the opponent is, but sometimes even more important is, what is their end game? What are they really trying to do? Is it all just to rob our land and rob us blind? Or is there something else for agenda that they have as well. And in order to figure that out, you have to start looking at things. And one of the first things to start looking at is the very government itself and its legal system with its statutes and codes. Well, what is the very meaning of the word legal? The 1893 Britannica Dictionary definition of legal is the undoing of God's law. Now, did you hear that, people? This is our government, which is supposed to be for us. The meaning of the legal term for all of their statutes and codes is to undo God's law. Now, another point of interest, the definition of lawful, which is what the Constitution follows, is in obedience with God's law. So that shows us right there that there's something going on here that we didn't all understand with our government. That is not just about government. It's got a spiritual aspect to the very meanings of the words that they're using. So when we look at the fact that legal is undoing God's law, and lawful is in obedience with God's law, and then we start looking what the legal system itself is doing, that will help us understand even more what's going on here. And when you look at the fact that the government has made it legal for them to lie to the people. Now, why would they do that? Why would they want to lie to the people? But the more important fact is, what is one of the Ten Commandments? Right. Thou shalt not bear false witness. So you start scratching your head and going, what the heck is going on here? You know, not only is the very legal system, the definition of the very legal system that the government uses, the undoing of God's law, but they're also going completely against God's law. And then I want you all to consider this as a fact. When you really try to figure out what it is their end game, I want you to consider this, and that is the fact that the government now has over 100 million statutes and codes. And if you don't obey those statutes and codes, then they'll throw you in jail. And so I want you to consider the fact that the very government itself has set themselves up as God. And if you don't obey them, then they'll throw you in jail and punish you. And what is the very first of the Ten Commandments?
No other
Thou
God.
Shalt have no other God before me. And so that shows you right there that what they're doing, it's not just about stealing from you. They are after your very soul. Because if you are following everything that the government tells you to do and not trying to break their legal statutes and codes, and that is in conflict with what our Heavenly Father's law is, then you're worshiping them instead of your Heavenly Father, and they have your soul. And I want you all to consider that. That is really what this whole thing is about. Now, so having given you a little history of, you know, what is really happening and what we're really fighting here, there are so many people out there that really need to be recognized for the amazing work that they've done and that they are doing. One of the first people that is most important for me personally to recognize would be my wife. I have the most amazing wife. I oftentimes spend 12, 14, 16 hours a day on the phone, trying to help everybody else. And my wife is there the whole time, cooking and cleaning and not complaining. I have to go to Utah to swear in marshals. I have to go to Grand Junction. I have to go all over these places to help other people. And my wife is home taking care of everything that needs to be done. We all, each and every one of us, have somebody that supports us and helps us with what we do. And even though they don't say anything ever, they're truly the support that allows us to accomplish what we are doing as spouses. And Kimberly Ann, if you are on the phone, would you unmute, please?
No, Kimberly. I don't want you.
For everybody, this is my beautiful wife, Kimberly.
Don't embarrass me.
Anyway, you all should be so lucky to have such amazing spouses. Some of the other people that I'm hoping are on the call tonight, and if you guys are on the call, please speak up. Justice Roberts, do we have you on the call?
Justice Roberts is here.
Oh. For those people that don't know, Justice Roberts is justice in Michigan. We thought that Colorado and Florida had everything up and running first, and then we kind of find out a year or two later that, you know, Michigan's already been doing it for 7 years. And Justice Roberts and his team are partially responsible for that. Justice Roberts, would you like to say a couple words?
Yes, very succinct. Let's get on with it.
That's right.
A man of little words,
yes,
but
people,
much
we
strength.
We have a country to save. Is Judge Anna on the phone? Do we have Judge Anna on the phone? Not hearing it. How about Justice Rodney Davis from Florida?
I have not seen any above.
You have
not. How about
okay.
We do a sound off? Or there,
I'll let you know when one of the people you're looking for helps on.
Okay. All right.
Bodette?
Yes, go ahead.
This is Melissa Bodette. I just wanted to let you know I just got a message from Mr. Davis. He will be on as soon as he possibly can.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Anyway. I wanted to try to recognize some people, and it seems like none of those people are on the call tonight, but that's okay. Tonight, the focus of the call is we've all been doing great things with getting the common law courts and the grand juries up and running in all of these states. And a lot of these grand juries are operating, they're putting out presentments, they're putting out indictments, and they're doing really good work. But one of the things that we have been missing is enforcement. Now, just because we haven't had the enforcement, if any of you heard the call earlier tonight for Colorado, we're still having judges and sheriffs and all of them step down, some of the honorable ones, once we expose them for the fraud and stuff. But we haven't had true enforcement. That has been one of our big problems. Another person that has worked very hard, and Roger and I have worked on this together. Roger Dowdell, are you on the phone?
Yes, Bruce.
You know, Roger, I can always count on you to be here, sir.
Not always, but frequently.
Roger and I have been working on what we started working on was getting all of the states up and running. And we've made some amazing strides at that. I mean, it was Roger and I together with helped get Oregon up and running and now Utah and Nevada and a whole bunch of other states out there and stuff. Anyway, Roger, would you explain what we're going to do and what your feelings are about what tonight's call is about? Is we want to set up a program in the next 2 months, we want, our goal is to get 1 million, and that was 1 million, U.S. Marshals sworn in. And if we can get 1 million marshals, then in every county, when we have an issue of unlawfulness that comes up in that county, we could put 20,000 marshals from that one state in that county to solve that problem and solve it lawfully and peaceably. And so, Roger, would you go ahead and fill in more I'm missing on the plan here? Or part of what we've got to talk about tonight is how we're going to do this all, but give your opinion on the whole thing, Roger.
Sure, Bruce. As Bruce mentioned, the key element that we're focusing our time and energy on is the recruitment of a large number of U.S. Marshals on the land jurisdiction. We've successfully started that ball rolling, and in fact, Bruce mentioned in Utah, 150 new U.S. Marshals were sworn in. This is so important because we've gotten many signals from both politicians, elected and appointed public officials, that the common law jurisdiction on the land is real, but that they are not interested in supporting our efforts until politically it becomes expedient. But beyond that, we continue to witness lawlessness in our judiciary system and everywhere pretty much in our government. And the lawlessness is going to continue. We faced it in Florida in one of our counties, Marin County. We brought it to the attention of the elected officials there that they are running unconstitutionally a corporation, and the leader said, well, we don't think that's too bad. So in essence, we know that the system our founders gave us consists of we, the people, in assembly meetings. From those meetings, we develop our de jure offices and our grand juries. And then the two other elements we need is to elect our judges in the Superior Court on the land jurisdiction, which, as Bruce mentioned, Bonnie Davis is our newest Superior Court judge. And then we need our marshals, and we need a lot of marshals, because in essence, unless and until the enforcement of the grand jury's decisions is made clear and lawfully understood by everyone, it's very, very difficult to implement the system founders gave us. Don't forget, the founders had great distrust about judges. They knew from their own experience that judges were the number one way the king delivered tyranny into society. So they have, in Article 3, Section 2, Clause 3 of the Supreme Law of the Land, the Constitution for the United States, small u, the trial of all crimes except in cases of impeachment shall be by jury. That's a jury with no judge. And then if you move over from criminal into civil cases in the Seventh Amendment, in all controversies of more than $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved. So the only place the founders left for judges to decide any cases is civil cases where the value of controversy is $20 or less. But $20 or more, the right to a jury, trial by jury, is preserved. So what does that mean? That means we have a complete judicial system that's been turned on its head and usurped, and we must start lawfully to enforce the jury's decisions on the land jurisdiction and place the Admiralty Maritime Jurisdiction courts with common law courts of record. And to do that, we need a lot of marshals and a significant number of Superior Court judges. So how do we go about finding these marshals? Well, there are organizations that are exhibiting great characteristics about supporting the Constitution and the rule of law. Examples include retired military folks who still have their oath of office. In fact, if you're in any branch of the military, you never get relieved of your oath of office until you are no longer living. So that's an important area to recruit people from. We also witnessed at the Republican National Convention that a large number of whites, who are very patriotic on the whole, showed up in order to make sure that the rule of law and peace was maintained during the Republican National Convention. So we're witnessing this, and what we think we must do now is go to these organizations and recruit the educate the leadership and recruit the membership for anybody and everybody to join the effort to restore the rule of law, and in particular, restore the Constitution for the United States that our founders created. With that, I yield.
Well, and I hope all of you people heard the explanation of that. That's you know, a lofty goal of a million people to come up with. One of the organizations that we're working with right now has over 200,000 members that we're working on setting up to get all of them on board, trained, and their oaths of office. Another big important one, and I was hoping maybe we had Ronnie Davis on the phone, but Ronnie Davis has worked with a bunch of biker groups in Florida, as well as different militia groups and stuff as well. For any of you that don't know who Ronnie Davis is, Ronnie has primarily worked on getting CPS kids back from CPS. And I believe that their number to date that they've gotten returned from CPS, the kids, is something like 80. And Ronnie really does some amazing work. Well, anyway, Ronnie has now been tasked with bringing in those biker groups and the patriot groups, and those right there represent, the biker group alone across the nation represents over 600,000 people. And so right there between those two groups, we can get over 800,000 people. Now, with 800,000 people, that's a good number, because if we've got an issue, if you take 800,000 and divide it by 50 states, that I think that would roughly give us 1,500 marshals per state. If we can hit a million, that'll give us 20,000 marshals per state. Now, if we've got on average 20,000 marshals per state, and any one county or any one person in the county is being attacked by this de facto law and stuff, then we can bring that many people in that county to solve that issue. Another thing that these new marshals will be tasked with is they will be responsible for setting up the jural assemblies in their counties as well, and getting their grand jury set up and running. And so if we're doing this simultaneously all across the country, then the other states that we're now missing, plus a lot of counties that we're now missing, we can pick all of those up at one time and be working on getting truly our lawful government and our lawful courts up and running on the land. And then we can force the Admiralty to stick to their jurisdiction only. If somebody wants to claim that they're an American citizen, then they can deal with the de facto. If they want to claim that they're a natural-born American, then they're ours, and the de facto has to leave them alone. Now, one of the big issues that we need to talk about tonight is we need a plan put together to swear in all of these marshals that we've got to swear in. And the second thing is we need to talk about the responsibilities of the marshal and what they can and can't do. We don't want a bunch of marshals out there running around trying to serve law themselves. That's not the reason that we're putting marshals together. We're putting marshals together so that we can bring them all together in a county to help make that county be lawful, not for them to run as lone rangers. But any marshal needs to understand is when you become a marshal, then you're serving the people, okay? We don't make the decisions. The people make the decisions. So if you see somebody doing something wrong, then it's your job to bring that case to the common law grand jury. It is for them to decide whether or not a crime was committed, and if there was a crime, what the penalties for that should be, or what needs to be done to restore whoever was harmed. So that is not the marshal's job to do themselves. They need to bring that to the grand jury, and that needs to be decided by the grand jury, by the people. This is truly putting the government, this is truly putting law back in the people's hands and getting the people something to protect them with. Because if we don't do this and we don't do this fast, then we're already been told about the strong city networks and that the government wants to bring in UN forces to police our streets and our county. We can't wait for that to happen, people. We need to do this now. Everybody that can stand up needs to be standing up. They need to get a hold of us, and they need to get involved, and they need to do it now. And right now, I would like to hear comments from some of the other judges on how, or anyone else, on how they feel we should go about doing all of this. Justice Roberts, do you have any comments, sir?
Not at the moment do I have comments, but I do have some questions.
Okay. Well, I think we're here to try to answer all the questions together. So we don't have this plan completely put together, and it's for us to decide that. But go ahead.
Okay. What I'd like to know is this gentleman in Florida that's been working these biker groups, I know that there's a very blatant distinction between a bike club and a bike gang. And I would caution our process with a little bit of, we need to check these boys out a little bit, if that makes sense. So what I'd like to know is there anything in the process so far that has done that? Has these people been vetted to be sure that they're not hardened criminals themselves, doing things that has harmed people? Because I've been around bike clubs quite a bit myself, so I do understand that. And so that's one question. The second question is,
well, let's address that to start with, because let's put that out. I shouldn't be the only one answering that question. We all need to make that decision together. And I think your point is valid with that. I think we need to remember that just because somebody was charged of a felony in the de facto system, that doesn't mean truly that they're, if there was no injured party, then they're not a felon. Do you see where I'm going with that? And those people should not be excluded from being marshaled. And that's my opinion, but let's hear other people's opinion on this.
May I, please?
Yes, go ahead.
Name is Ken in Colorado. I spent a lot of time in motorcycle clubs. The one I was a member of was Leathernecks MC, and it was reserved for Marines. Motorcycle clubs... If you wear your colors, in the bottom right corner, if there's a patch that says MC, then you fall under a certain set of rules governed by the COC, Confederation of Colors. In that, there are basically two types of clubs, motorcycle clubs and 1% clubs. The 1% clubs are the outlaws. The MCs are not. So that's a distinction. So if you see somebody wearing a three-piece patch, as we call it, center patch, top name, MC, if you see a 1% tag on their jacket, that is an outlaw club. If you don't, they're not. I yield.
Well, having owned two Harleys myself, and rode with a lot of other guys in different clubs and stuff, I can tell you, you know, there are a lot of people out there that are also wealthy business owners that are in clubs and stuff. So, go ahead with your point of order.
I would like to, Bruce, but there was a lady out there just before the gentleman spoke.
Okay, ma'am.
Yeah, hi, Bruce. It's Jody in Michigan. If I could just comment on additionally on what Justice Robert said, my own personal experience here in Michigan is that I actually had relatives who had a relative who was an ex-police chief of the city I live in, who they were in a bike club, and this police chief was actually the president of the bike club, and they were instrumental in conspiring to get me into the guardianship that I'm in, and so this was family, okay, and they were in a club. They were in no way, shape, or form, you know, what I would consider lawless up until the point of what they conspired to do against me, and also one of the conspirators was instrumental in being one of my perpetrators in my whole ordeal was an ex-boyfriend of mine who decided to return to being a biker after our relationship, you know, was no more, and continued to...
Hold on, Jody. Point of order, people. If you're not speaking, please mute your phone. Go ahead, Jody.
And folks, so you guys know, we're on a live broadcast.
Did
this person has an absolutely near clean
muted
on the computer system. However, in real life, it's probably like a mile long, and because he has access to an attorney via a friend. That attorney buys him out of all of his legal problems and therefore wipes his slate clean, so it appears as though he's a good person on the computer system, and when in reality he really is not. So they do definitely need to be vetted, more so than just an investigative background. But if anybody has witness against them, for causing harm, then you know, there needs to be maybe affidavits brought forth as such.
Well, and that's a good point, and maybe that's something that we do, is allow anyone that is sworn in for a judge, a marshal, or any position, anyone that has complaints against that person or affidavits against that person, need to bring those forward. And maybe that's the way we handle that. I'm not sure. I'm throwing out suggestions there. So who is up? Do we answer your question there? On that, Jody?
Yeah, that sounds really good, Bruce, and I yield. Thank you.
Okay, and who is up next? Go ahead.
That was Johnny B.
Hey, Johnny B., how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Here's something you need to consider even more so than these biker clubs or any other club you're dealing with, guys. It's the Masonic Lodge that controls all this stuff. You got to look at them damn Masons. Because they protect each other all across the board. The lawyers, the bikers, the bankers, judges, the whole nine yards. It's at that's the core is the fucking Mason. Sorry, I'm getting a little passionate, Bruce. I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, we're broadcasting live, so you got to watch your language here, okay?
Yep, I apologize,
okay.
Everybody.
Yep.
But
yep. And I hope you understand, Johnny B., these bikers and these biker groups are working with Justice Davis now, and we're looking at recruiting them. We're not saying that they're all bad. This isn't about trying to pick bad or good groups. You know, my suggestion is anyone that feels that they want to get involved with restoring this Constitution, and they have not harmed anyone, even if they've been charged with a felony, if they've not caused harm to anyone, I would like them to step forward. This is about serving the people. And then if we have complaints against them, then people can put their affidavits in, and we'll have to come up with some system of reviewing those and looking at those. But we need help right now from all of the people.
If I may.
Go ahead, Johnny. Let Johnny finish.
Yeah.
I've got all three counties that I've tried to work out of in two states, Missouri and Kansas, all three counties. And there's four counties here in Kansas. Our biggest problem is the Masonic Lodge.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, okay. I don't have an issue with that, Johnny. I agree with that. But, you know, this is about trying to recruit. This is about trying to recruit more marshals and how we're going to do that, okay?
But here was some of the pressure that I've seen here in Kansas was the people that were coming to me with interest. Their children were being attacked in their job with their children. And they would just come to me and say, man, I can't do nothing with you, Johnny, because they're taking my family apart as we talk.
And that's why we need more marshals. And
Absolutely.
Trust me, if you've got 20,000 marshals in the state that you can bring to bear on that situation, then that will stop.
Hell, I'd like to have two more, Bruce.
There you go.
You know, I yield, guys. I just wanted to get that
in
there.
And who is up next? Yeah, go ahead.
David in Michigan, I just wanted to use this time to remind you that Robert had two questions to ask, and he never got to ask the second one.
I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. And thank you for that, sir. And you want to go ahead and ask your other question? I'm so sorry about that. I get distracted sometimes.
Don't we all? I let the discussion roll for a simple reason. I was looking to see if there was anybody that has actually experience being with clubs and club writers. The first gent to come on tells me that there are people. Now everybody has an idea of how we look at these clubs, and there is a definite distinction between a club and a gang. And that's motorcycle gang versus motorcycle club is probably the easiest way to make everybody cognizant of that. The second question that I had, you started right down the path anyway, is when we do get people to come forward, we don't want to lose anybody. I agree. We need to take a good hard look at all them folks that step forward because we don't want to miss a party at all. And looking at them, talking with them, and being aware of those elements of how to identify the clubs or the bike riders or bikers or however you want to label them. I'm a former biker myself, and a bad accident took me out of the game, so now I stay in the cage, and everybody who rides a scooter should understand that lingo. So looking at them, you're already talking about it, and that is something that I believe the people that have common law experience should set down some data points, bullet points, however you want to label them, as to what we might ask them so that we can determine their character, because that's what we want is people of good character. And along with that, I would like to know who we could get together very soon to put that principle together, and that would be my second question. You know, when are we going to get a committee or a team, a research team or a vetting team together to take a good look at these folks? And I yield the floor.
Well, Justice Roberts, did I just hear you volunteer to head up that team?
I did not.
Come on.
In your ears,
I thought that was a volunteer I heard. I'm sure it was.
Hey, Bruce?
Yes.
Bob Locke.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm good. I would, I think this is a very important issue. Right now, we have an incredible set of resources. I was at a barbecue.
For everybody, hold on just a second. For everybody that does not know, this is Bob Locke, and Bob Locke was one of the team members on the summit in Alaska with Judge Anna. And so just for anybody that doesn't know who he is, that's who he is. Bob was an attorney for 27, 26 years, something like that, discovered what was going on with the corruption and gave up his bar card and the nice money he was making to now be poor and to help us out with what we're doing. And with that being said, go ahead and take it, Bob.
Thanks, Bruce. And my only point is this, and we had a good discussion on this afternoon. In my mind, as I thought about it after we spoke, all right, we have two tremendous resources in this nation right now that feed into what you're doing. And I had the privilege of being at a friend's barbecue last week, and a good friend of mine who I've known since we were in kindergarten together, who served in the Navy for years and years and years and then went into law enforcement and is now retired. He's in a motorcycle club. I hesitate to call them biker clubs because it's got such a negative connotation. And his motorcycle club is called Iron Justice, and they do charitable work beyond belief and are always doing positive things for the community. There are groups like this all over the nation, in every city, every county, every community. In addition to veterans that are out there who are being woefully underserved by the government. All right, and particularly if we can get the bank up and running, all right, that we can fund the PTSD and other treatment that these people need. Desperately because of these illegal wars that they've been forced to fight in, we will end up with an incredible, good-hearted and well-trained and intelligent a group of marshals and support around the country in a matter of very little time, in my mind. So, just an observation. I really, really hesitate to call them, bikers because that's not what they are. It's a motorcycle club that's out there. They ride for enjoyment, and they all that I've come across are involved in really, really good causes in their communities and would fit perfectly with the model that you're talking about here.
Well, and I agree. Yes, go ahead, please, Augustus Roberts.
Yes, I understand what the gentleman's saying, but having rid with bikers, some of the most corrupt gangs in the West Coast do some of the most awesome charity, but they also do a lot of harm to those that choose to engage in that thing. So I'm comfortable with talking to people and making sure that they are not of the quality that would do us an injustice, because everybody on this call knows that perception is probably a very big piece of what we're all about. If we don't give the world the right perception, they're going to just to continue to do exactly what they're doing to us. And I agree. So
yeah, I would agree completely with Justice Roberts and honestly, Bruce, I'd be happy to work not by myself but with a team to put together a system, a process to vet potential candidates here.
And you realize what you're committing to, Bob, because we're going to need to set up 50 states where we can have people sworn in as marshals. So this is going to be a big task.
No, I thought about it after we got off the phone today, and I don't say it lightly, and I yield.
Okay, well, Judge DeSette. That is very generous of you, Bob. I appreciate that. Go ahead, sir.
Judge DeSette, can you hear me?
Oh,